my technical knowledge is, let's say, making a graph is still below zero, but growing is going higher.
I think it's better than some of our customers. Like, she can figure out how to open, like, applications or send an email. It's not that bad.
Well, come on. I'm more by far more advanced than that at this point.
Okay.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. I'm Andrew Uderian. We e-commerce entrepreneurs can be a misunderstood bunch. And sometimes, most so surprisingly, among a few of the people that know us best in the whole world, our parents. If you asked your parents to describe what you do, how close, or perhaps comically off the mark, would their answer be? Some of them would have, you know, no problem describing what you do fairly accurately, while others probably couldn't find your store's website online if they had to. So today on the show, how well do parents of e-commerce entrepreneurs really know their kids' business? And it's brought to you by our podcast producer here, Laura Serino. One quick note, despite my handing the reins to Laura much more frequently over the last 2 to 3 weeks, not planning an early retirement on my side, you will definitely be hearing more from Laura in the future. But I've been on the road the last couple of weeks, and we'll be back in full force next week, and hopefully with an upcoming episode about what I've been up to on the trail. Here's Laura with today's episode.
This is Lucy Lansky. I'm Freddy's mom. I'm originally from Argentina. After 36 years, I'm still talking, or I sound like a newcomer.
Lucy's son, Freddy Lansky, is the co-founder of iChess.net, a chess enthusiast website that specializes in digital chess products and videos. Does he ever talk to you about work and what he's doing? And when he does, do you understand what he's talking about?
Well, the first question, as far as sharing with me what he's doing, not the answer is not too much. And as far as understanding what he's doing, the answer is a kind of partially. I used to know more about or understand more what he was doing. Right now, I know very little as far as what he actually does.
I think as the business grows, there's more aspects and elements and things that I'm doing that, if you're not a marketer or online business owners, is kind of hard to explain. So I'll have to just kind of say it in general terms, like business is good, business is not so good this month. I don't get into like marketing nerd talk with my mom because I don't think she'd really know what I'm talking about.
Why don't you try?
Okay, I can try.
How stupid I can be.
Okay.
I have a feeling you'd catch on quickly, Lucy.
Yeah, maybe we'll train her.
When he started Project Ripple, he told us he was starting to help this guy he met at graduate school. It was, you know, oh, okay, fine. You know, with Nathan, I think we just kind of like listen and learn pretty quickly that we needed to just kind of like just listen. And, you know, yes, of course, we asked questions, but we couldn't really kind of express any judgment at all about what he was doing.
That's Anna Karshmer. Her son, Nathan Rothstein, is the founder of Project Repat, a company that creates custom quilts from customer t-shirts. In the early days of Project Repat, Nathan counted on mom to help keep things running when he'd be away from the office.
He said, "Mom, you know, we have to go to San Francisco. Can you kind of pick up the packages in, you know, at our office and then bring them to, for a while they had another group doing the quilts and, you know, just for a couple months while I'm gone." And at that point I was in transition between jobs. I said, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." So I call myself the VP of errands, because I had to go to the post office, and he told me, you know, use this credit card for this and then use this credit card for that. And I was like so confused, and I realized actually a long time after that what happened is I didn't have enough money in any one account, so that he was managing all these like credit card accounts to pay for the postage and stuff. So I went away for 2 weeks with my middle daughter, and when I came back, my husband said, "You know, don't get scared, but the living room is full of boxes." So at that point, we had to tell Nathan he had to come back home because it was out of control.
Here's the moment Anna knew the business was going to take off.
So when Nathan said, "When I'm moving, I'm renting a place," I said, "Oh, So you can rent a place. That was kind of a sign that things were coming along a little better, that both Ross and Nathan could actually rent an apartment, each of them separately outside the office. I think Nathan has introduced both my husband and I to a new world for sure. And he always recommends new podcasts for me to listen to, like Startup and others, you know.
Oh, you like Startup, huh?
Yeah. So I think I understand more. You know, lately he's been writing articles that are, you know, my husband and I are saying, okay, he's just gone over the threshold. He's writing about things that we can't understand anymore, that they're getting a little more over our heads. But yeah, I mean, I think that I like technology a lot, and I always kind of like follow news about technology. And of course, I'm a consumer of e-commerce, so I understand it a little bit. But I mean, I never thought, you know, Nathan was going to basically make a living from that.
They would always ask me what I learned, or, you know, what was I learning versus like what grade I was getting. And then if there was a problem with something, I was taught to advocate for myself and figure out a solution. I think a lot of people deal with these challenges of going to their parents and them wanting to follow a more traditional path. But I probably set my parents up for this when I left school early in high school to take some college courses. I dropped out of business school. You know, I think they've come to realize that I'm not going to take a traditional path, but it's nice to not feel like, you know, they're pressuring me to go down one route. And, you know, I know other entrepreneurs who, you know, when they tell their parents at first, you know, they're not supportive at all. And when you're just starting something off the ground, like, you need as much support as you can get, because you're going out in the world with this new idea, and people's first reaction is usually to say no, and that's not a good idea because there's not proof behind it. And, you know, for so long, we were told that this was never going to be a real business. You can't really make any money off of it. And now we're probably one of the fastest growing consumer goods businesses in at least New England in the last couple of years.
And now that Nathan's a successful entrepreneur, he's able to teach his parents things too.
Nathan has taught us so much, has introduced a whole new world that we wouldn't have known. So, you know, it's really exciting to follow along with what your kids are doing and kind of like learn from it.
The thing that cracks me up, Laura, sometimes is, you know, as a kid, I loved TV. I really did. You know, I'd watch movies on HBO 5 times, 6 times, or probably even more. And I played with my He-Man guys all the time. And, you know, they'd be on the floor in the room, and or whether it would be like, you know, the fact that my mom bought me a Nintendo for my birthday 1 year, and you know, Nintendos were not cheap. And, you know, unlike most kids probably, where the toys and everything that they buy don't really have like a direct ROI. Like for my life, they did. And that's just kind of like, I kind of like laugh whenever I think about that sometimes. How, you know, what if they hadn't spoiled me a little bit with the He-Man guys, or hadn't got me the Nintendo for my birthday, that kind of stuff.
I do have to break in there. He bought a lot of the He-Man guys himself. He did get an allowance, and he saved his allowance.
Kevin Stecco is the founder of 80s Tees, whose mission is to, quote, delight and amaze the kid in us all. For Kevin, having parents that were supportive of his TV and superhero addiction as a kid wasn't just nice to have. It actually helped him launch his business. In the early days of 80s Tees, when Kevin was still juggling a full-time job and needed help, he turned to mom.
I didn't pay a whole lot of attention at first. He did his thing, and then after a short while, I said to him, well, at that time I wasn't working anywhere. And I said, well, if you show me what to do, I'll print the orders up and take them. And I'm a golfer, and I used to do them before I went golfing and take them to the post office and go on my way for the day. I would go over there and while he was at work and answer emails and take care of the orders. And
phones, you do the phones.
I did the telephones, yes.
And were you starting to think that maybe this business was going to really become something?
I guess yes would be the answer to that. I didn't at any time think it would get to the point that it is now.
My mom, in a very friendly way, made it clear that the business was no longer welcome at the size that it had become. dominating, you know, a couple of rooms in her house, and one of them being the dining room.
But as you may have guessed, 80s teas took off in a big way, and Mary never really doubted that it would.
I wasn't as nervous as my husband was. And I wouldn't call it nervous. He was just a little skeptical that he would be able to juggle everything that was going on with the house.
Yeah, he's skeptical I could make a mortgage payment, basically, and still live, have enough money for a vehicle and all that stuff.
I was there every day seeing what was going on, and my husband wasn't, so, which goes on today.
So you're still, are you still there on a daily basis?
Basically, yes.
Are you still answering the phones too?
I try not to, truthfully. I do, but unwillingly.
She's actually has for quite a while. She's done our like our fraud reviews. We've done a lot of it with software now, so it's more managing the software, whereas it used to be a lot of investigations. But yeah, that's her main area of responsibility, and pitches in other places too.
Mary's modest about her early role with 80s Tees, but Kevin's quick to point out that she was one of the driving forces behind their early growth.
She played like a huge role, and it's kind of funny to think about this, but our very first legitimate vendor, so obviously like buying from a guy who has a store in a college town isn't a sustainable business model, you know, and so we needed to find legitimate suppliers, and back in early 2000s, this was all done via like sales reps and trade shows, and I didn't even know what trade shows to go look up or that there were trade shows. You know, I really didn't have any sort of background in this business or any business. And my mother actually found, using Google, our very first vendor. They had a website, and they were not easy to find. And to this day, I wish I knew what her terms were that she used to find it, but I had tried plenty and never did. And so once we found them, then from there, we kind of learned who else we needed to talk to. But her web savviness extends way back to the point where it was critical to finding our vendors.
What's it like working for your son?
Good and bad. I'm sure he'd say the same.
What's the good and the bad?
Well, he brought me lunch today. That was good. I can't say there's, for me, been a whole lot of bad. But it's been real bad. I don't remember it. Now, that's one of the better things of getting older.
Since Mary's been there for Kevin and his business since the beginning, I have to wonder if she'll ever be able to get some vacation time in.
I don't golf as much as I used to. Right now, of course, we're in the dead of winter and there's no golfing around here. But I usually keep with my Monday. I get out of here in time for my Monday night golf league. And this summer, I want to do more. Somebody else will have to take the ball.
I'm glad your son gives you time off.
I take it. I don't know if he gives it. I don't know how happy he'll be. Or the person that has to do my job.
Used to have to send him walking around the block in the winter to get the energy out of him. Like 10 laps. That was my mother's idea.
Mary, are you pulling my leg or is this true?
Oh, no. Andrew was, when he was not quite two, I dressed him up as the devil for Halloween because he was just, if you didn't know what he was doing every 45 seconds, you were in trouble as a mom. And so he just was very high energy, and he knew what he wanted to do. And he said, you know, Mom, I never really tried to please you guys. And I was like, yeah, Andrew, we kind of figured that out.
I couldn't do an episode about the parents of entrepreneurs without speaking to one very, very important person, Andrew Udarian's mother.
We had a hammer over his head from birth till he went to college. And then we had to obviously give up all control. And he's a wonderful son and dad and person, but it was not easy. He had too much energy.
So what's your understanding of e-commerce fuel? Does he talk to you about it?
Not very much. I've heard a few of the podcasts. I was thinking what a bad mother I am. I should probably listen to all of them. But we're busy here, and so he tells us a little bit, but he really doesn't talk too much about it. when he told us he was going to sell CB radios, which was Right Channel Radio, his first company, his dad and I both said, Andrew, no one uses CB radios anymore. And obviously, he had done his research, and we were really out of touch because a lot of people use CB radios. We were absolutely wrong about that, and that turned out to be a very good business. So it's kind of nice when you get to the point where your children know more than you do.
I don't know if you know this, but Andrew's actually kind of considered a celebrity in the world of e-commerce, you know.
I didn't know that, actually. Well, I was surprised a few years back, maybe two or three, when I Googled him and found that there were, I don't know, I think I got to page 55 of the Googles and gave up. But unfortunately, I'm about as low-tech as he is high-tech. And I have a little iPad mini that connects me to the world. So I've started using that a lot in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But I can tell I'm going to have to listen to more of these podcasts. Andrew loves what he does, and he's able to do it on his time frame, and there's that adventure and that creativity, and I think he's very happy. I can't really see him having stayed in an investment banking environment. So yes, and one of the things he wanted was the freedom to spend time with family and friends and to work hard, but to also have the flexibility for things that are even more important than work. And I think he's achieved a pretty good balance.
A big thanks to all the store owners from our community and their awesome mothers for joining us on today's episode. If you're not a community member, we'd love to have you. We're a private community of 6- and 7-figure store owners, and you can learn more and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com/forum. Thanks to Andrew for letting me hop on the mic, and thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.